Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Alright, praise God. It's a blessing to share the word this evening. And have you ever been in a situation where, I suppose it happens quite often here, where you're walking down the road or you have to stop at the robot? Where I used to live now, the last couple of years, we don't have robots there. Just traffic lights. The beginning when you had to give directions or describe something to someone, you talk about a robot, you can see you've lost this guy now completely. In fact, there's a bit of a concerned look. Anyway, so I had to change the way I refer to traffic lights. Any case, but you stop there and there's inevitably somebody wanting to sell something or asking for money or walking on, down the road, lots of people with serious need. There's always a bit of a wrestle there, for me at least, wanting to be a good steward, not always sure is this guy for real, but at the same time wanting to be the hands and feet of Jesus in terms of meeting the needs of the poor, amen? So there's always a bit of a wrestle there, and I want us to look at a situation in Scripture where something similar happened, and let's see how the guys approach this. This is right at the beginning of Acts. This is where, after the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and this is right in those first moments where Jesus, where the Church of Jesus Christ is being established. Acts chapter 3, from verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Really powerful account here, and it's interesting how we as people operate. When we're faced with a situation where somebody is in need, or somebody is even has the boldness to actually ask us for something, often it's more a situation of you recognize a need or you see a need. It might not be a situation like this where there's somebody begging, but maybe a colleague or not necessarily somebody that needs financial support or something like that, but somebody that has another need. And often when we find ourselves in that situation, the default human setting for many of us is, it's almost a, I'm so kind of wrestling with my own stuff and my own challenges and my own things that I'm trusting God for, that there's almost this thing of I don't even want to give a little bit because I'm afraid that I'm going to have to give more. And this whole thing of you extend a little hand and it feels like somebody grabs your whole arm type of thing. And so unfortunately the default human setting is also a very selfish one. And it's obviously not for you guys. I know it's just the thing I'm like struggling with, but it's what I'm just convicted with about looking at this. It's just the place where we recognize what we have received. Peter and John, the way he says it is so powerful. He says, listen, I understand that what you're looking for is money or some kind of physical support, but I don't have that now. But I do have something to give to you. Amen. And this evening, I want us to have a look at that a little bit as we're sending out guys going all over the world, different parts, knowing that, you know, even though we've prepared and even there's a lot of preparation that goes into a mission trip, that knowing that the most precious thing that we have is not always the stuff that we recognize first. Let's have a look at the next scripture from Matthew 10:7. He says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And this is Christ sending out disciples. And can you see here, he doesn't hold back, you know. He doesn't say, listen, don't stress. If your faith isn't there, you know, just support the poor guys or whatever. Or encourage. He just goes full on. He says, preach. And the powerful concept of the kingdom being at hand is that it is near. It is accessible. It is not exclusive. It is for everybody. And as we go out on mission, and we're often so focused, and we're so prepared, and we're so, you know, amped. And it's funny how many times experience, even on our way to our destination, whether it's on a bus or on an airplane, or often there are amazing divine appointments even on the way. And it's truly something to do with focus and a consecration. But our challenge that I wanted to hold before us this evening is, isn't there a mission that we have in our daily lives, in our daily walk? Isn't there a mission that we're on that requires that same focus, and that requires that same readiness on a daily basis? Readiness to freely give as we have received. Amen. And so he says, firstly, he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near us. It's accessible. And this is exactly what Peter and John said. Listen, we don't have money to give you, but we have received something. We have received something that we can give to you. And then the guy gets healed right there. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have received, freely give. Now you can pick your one that you want to start practicing with. I'm thinking of taking a couple of guys to the morgue this week. Any volunteers? Just kidding. But I'll tell you a story one day, not tonight, but I'll tell you about a story where I had to go and pray for somebody that was dead for 2 weeks already. That was a challenging one. Anyway, I'll tell you another time. You can invite me for coffee and I can tell you the story. All right. When you come and babysit, I'll tell you. All right, so freely have received, freely give. Now, we're limited on time this evening, but I want us to just stand still a few main points of what have we received in Christ. And obviously this is not an exhaustive list. I'm just touching on a few things here. But firstly, our salvation. I was just so blessed the other day. There's a couple of guys that I really like listening to, well-known speakers, like really generals in the kingdom. One of them's name is Bayless Conley. And he's... one of the things I really enjoy about him is he's been around for ages. He's a grandfather. He's served so faithfully in the kingdom for so many years. He's been preaching the gospel and all over the world. And he's in charge of a massive church, and they do multi-site over the globe, and they stream live all over the place. And even though that's the case, whether you meet with him personally, whether you hear him talk, there's always an element of him being so aware and so thankful for his salvation. And it's such a powerful thing that he's, having walked with God for such a long time, he's still such a raw connection with the fact that he was lost and that he is now found, and that he was dead, and that he is now alive. And a friend of the ministry, one of the pastors we partner with in Africa and in Malawi, he always used to do this when, you know, meeting with one of us or one of the church. He'd always, one of the first things he'd ask you, just tell me your testimony again. Just tell me your story again. How did you come to know Jesus? And it really challenged me because even after maybe, you know, you've told him a couple of times, he probably remembers. He'd ask you, just tell me again. And then he'd be so blessed. He'd cry and he'd give thanks to God for our salvation. I want us just to think for a moment, when last did you share your story with somebody? When last did you, even if it's just in short, share with somebody how you came to Christ? What miracles that God did in your life to transform you from darkness into his light, to save you from the pit, to bring you into his marvelous light. And I won't ask you now, but it's something to consider and just pray around. Lord, restore in me the joy of my salvation. Amen. We've received empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And if we look in Acts, this chapter before what we read now, we see when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, it says, when the Holy Spirit you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And guys, I don't know about you, but there are a few events in my life that have changed my life forever. Obviously, salvation is the most dramatic and significant one. It's the biggest miracle this side of eternity is when we receive Christ. But besides that, with the day that I was filled with the Holy Spirit, the day that I was empowered and received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's probably besides the salvation one, it's probably the single most dramatic and transformational event in my life. I don't know about you, but I will never be the same. I actually used to be quite a shy person. I actually still am a little bit, but now it's the Holy Spirit in me. Amen? And what I want to say through this is that you and I cannot underestimate the significance of Christ with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of Christ, the power of his resurrection, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I've noticed something being back in Pretoria that really excites me. And I've noticed that coming from an environment where when you share the gospel with somebody, you share the love of Christ with someone, there are so many hurdles, there are so many obstacles before you can get even to a meaningful conversation about God. And coming back to this kind of space that we're in here, I must encourage us, guys, that Pretoria on the whole is very open for the gospel. Guys, I know this is maybe easier for me to see coming from the outside, but I want to encourage us that people are open for what God wants to do. People have a hunger for spiritual things. And I come from a very traditional background in terms of church. And I want to say to you, I believe that this is one of the most important things that we can share with people that around us that come from a traditional background. Maybe that the scripture says they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Have you heard that scripture where it speaks about people having a form of godliness? I understand that because that's where I come from. And I say to us, be bold in sharing with your friends the power of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Be bold to encourage people. Remember, I was in Afrikaans Dutch Reformed Church in London many years ago. Did you know that there's something like that? This is not when we were ministering. This was before there was a shofar, okay, in the year 2000. And I was attending this church, and I started a small group. I remember I had to have a chat with the dominee because I said to her, listen, I can't ignore the fact that the Holy Spirit is real. So I'm going to be, is it okay if I just share my testimony? I won't do any teachings on it. Not like I like really could. I was just doing Bible school at that stage. But anyway, we came to an agreement. I said, listen, I'll just, if somebody asks me, I will say. So lots of guys got spirit-filled, and lots of guys got, yeah. But anyway, we can talk about that whole thing about order in the body another time. But what I'm saying is that I want to really encourage us that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we have received is one of the greatest gifts that we have received from the Father. And it's, I want to encourage us that right in this context that we are in here is really a key to, for us reaching out to those around us. So, let's have a look at one of those scriptures. Okay, I'm not going to flight this one again, but we're going to look at freedom from fear, and we're going to look at your story as well. Okay, let's go on. Mark 13, from 9. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, Holy Spirit. How often do we find ourselves, you know, what am I going to say? How can I really share with my friends or my colleagues? How we find ourselves so intimidated. But he says, don't stress about this stuff. Okay, now the context here is quite tense because he speaks about being arrested. Now that's a little bit foreign to most of us, being arrested for your faith. But a friend of mine, Louis, who's sitting here this evening, we were at a conference in India last year where this was a very real reality for a lot of the guys. Having been in prison for the gospel, having been persecuted in a very real way. But this is true whether you find yourself in prison or whether you find yourself intimidated or whether you find yourself being laughed at for your faith. Know that God is with you. The power of the Holy Spirit is with us and in us, and He will give you the words to speak. Amen. And another part, when we read in Acts, we see the Luke describing, it says that the disciples and apostles went out preaching everywhere. They went in every opportunity they could find, they preached the gospel. And the key part there for me is, and it says, the Lord working with them and confirming signs and wonders. Guys, when we allow Holy Spirit to be and to actively direct us and channel and show us and help us in every situation, you're going to be astounded what is possible. I really believe that in every situation you and I find ourselves in, the kingdom of God is coming in some way. And you and I can either be a part of what God is doing in that situation, or we can just kind of plug on in our plan for the day, or my schedule, or my, you know, just the reminder and all this stuff that's happening. And I met somebody the other day, and every time I asked them about, you know, can we have coffee, or, you know, do you want to, what about a chat? And he says, no, let me just check. And then he looks at his schedule and everything, and it's really cool. He's a very good, he's a good steward of his time. But is there space there for Holy Spirit to move, to direct our steps, to open our eyes for the little things around us that God is busy with, and the big things as well? One of the things about Reinhard Bonnke that really blesses me, Reinhard Bonnke, you might know him, very well-known German evangelist. He ministers to millions, and he's kind of handing over the ministry at the moment, but he's ministered to hundreds of millions. I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds of millions of people over the last 30 years, 40 years in Africa. And I remember a story of one of the biggest crusades that they've ever had. And in this one, there were, as far as I remember correctly, there were 1.6 million people in one meeting in Lagos. That kind of hurts your brain just to think about that. But 1.6 million, and he shared the word, and I think the count that evening was about 1.1 decisions for Christ. 1.1 million over that period. And I heard the story from somebody that was with him. They always, you know, at that specific crusade, it was the millennium one. It was a really big one, and they had a lot of very high-profile Christian leaders from all over the world there on stage with him and supporting him and praying with him. And I've been to one of his crusades, and we always traveled together with this big, you know, motorcade back to the hotel. And lots of Secret Service people and lots of security. And now at this point specifically, he was going with all these incredibly powerful and very high profile men of God. And they were entered the hotel lobby. And, you know, and I suppose for you and I, it would have been quite an intimidating situation, you know, having all these big church leaders, mega church guys. But he's not that kind of guy to be intimidated. So he, as they entered the lobby, there was a moment, and he said, "Listen, just excuse me for a moment." And he had them all stand there in the lobby, all these very important people. And he sat down next to somebody sitting in the lobby. And he shared the gospel with him. This one guy. After just preaching to over a million people, he had the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to recognize one guy sitting in the corner. And he sat down and he shared the gospel with him. Isn't that when you hear something like that, you recognize how God can entrust to him so many millions. Amen? Because he's ready to hear the Holy Spirit for one. So I want to encourage us, guys. Let's start by hearing the Holy Spirit for one. And God is faithful to confirm his word, do signs and wonders. Amen. Amen. Let's carry on. I'm going a bit slowly. Okay. We've received freedom from fear, guys. We've received freedom from many things. We've been delivered from many things, but I'm mentioning this one because fear is the one that is kind of intertwined in so many other things that are trying to keep us from what God wants us to do. And it takes on many forms, whether it's fear of man or fear of rejection or fear of failure, or there's so many things. And I look, guys, let's be honest, when you're reaching out to somebody, or whether it's on a mission or whether it's in your workplace, that's sometimes more difficult, or to your family, there is that very real place of vulnerability. Because you're saying, "This is what I believe, and I wanna pray for you, I wanna support you, I wanna share this with you. This is my story, this is what I believe." And there's a very real possibility that you might have somebody reject what you believe. Reject or laugh maybe or ridicule what you believe. Okay, there's a very real possibility. So that's often what we wrestle with. And I must admit, I've heard interesting things. You know, I remember one stage doing street evangelism. My first line was something like, "You know, can we share the love of Jesus with you?" So I think I've adjusted that first line because sometimes the response you get is just crazy. You know, so I've heard. Things that I can't repeat now. Sometimes accompanied with those interesting words, you get, you know, spit in the face and stuff like that. But you know, it's amazing how Christ in Scripture says, when they reject you for my sake, that, you know, they don't reject you, they reject me, they reject Christ. Amen. So there is that reality, and that's why we have to deal with this. We have to deal with that fear of rejection, that fear of what are people going to think, what are people say. Deal with that thing because it's real. But once you've dealt with it, know that there's nothing. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen to you and I? In fact, Christ says we should rejoice when we experience trials and tribulation for his sake. I mean, let's quickly look at 1 Corinthians 15, from 54 there. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, it gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." He's removed the sting of death, the very thing that we fear the most, death. He's taken the sting out of that. He's saying, there's nothing to be afraid of. I am with you. In Christ we have victory. And often when I sit next to somebody or on a plane or a bus or something, or you meet somebody for the first time, and I realize I don't know, sometimes it's like an adrenaline thing going on in here. My heart goes all over the place, but I realize that God wants me to minister to this person in some way. You get all excited. What does God want to do? But there is a very real that thing of how will they respond also. God, what I want to say to you, that every time when I face that bit of fear or that bit of anxiety, and I say, Lord, and I just allow God to show me a little bit of His love for that person, then all my fears just disappear into insignificance because of the love of God and His desire to meet with that person and His desire to bless that person. So I want to encourage us to be that co-worker with Christ in your workplace. Yes, we go on missions, and on the mission we are, it's very much what we're focusing on. But in our everyday walk, be that one that recognizes a need. And even if you feel you can't meet it in the way that person is expecting, at least tell them, listen, I can't really help you in the way that you think, but I'm going to pray with you. I want to stand in faith with you. And there's such a power in a place where when you hear of a struggle that somebody's going through, maybe a colleague or a neighbor, and you step out in faith. And I want to encourage you to do this deliberately, to say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you for this thing. And often they won't want you to pray right there, so respect that. But tell them deliberately, say, listen, I'm going to pray for you for this. And then obviously you do your thing. Don't say that if you're not going to. But trust God for miracles. Trust God to perform His word, to confirm His word. And then the most powerful thing is when you see the person again at work, and you ask them, how is it going? Tell you what, this people's hearts open when they recognize the love of God, and just little things like that. It doesn't take a theology degree or rocket science. It's just a little thing like that. When we start caring for people the way Christ does. Are you with me? Amen. Okay, so the other thing that I want to mention just briefly is our story. People love stories, okay? People love talking about themselves, yes. That's why now when I start sharing with somebody that I don't know these days, I ask them about themselves first. Anyway, but people love stories, and I want to encourage us, and I've spoken about this recently, but don't underestimate the power of sharing what God has done in your life. And often I find myself chatting to somebody, and I'm trusting God for opening or an angle or some way to connect this conversation with God. And many times the Lord will just drop something and remind me of something that has happened in my life that He's done. And I'd share the story, and then sure as anything, that thing would be something that person can relate to. Even though it's a small thing for me or something that long ago, somehow God is able to connect that person's heart with. So be bold, step out. Yes, there is a comfort zone where we just kind of float in and out of our daily lives, but I really had a picture this evening of God wanting to challenge us in our daily walk to get out of the boat. Like Peter, when Jesus called him out of the boat to walk on water. And I feel God is calling us out of the comfort zone, out of the boat, out of what is comfortable and what is safe. And I just feel this evening God is calling many of us to, even in your daily walk, in your daily studies or work or family situation, to step out of the boat, to start trusting Him for the impossible. I don't know about you, but when I go with the conviction that Christ is with me, that anything is possible. This week I had a very tense intense situation on Thursday. It wasn't a guy in the morgue this time, but you know, I was just so overwhelmed with the grace of God. What happened? I can't tell you the whole story. It's still in work, in it's kind of still happening, the testimony. So hopefully in a couple of months' time, we'll tell you the second part and more of it, the story. But in short, I knew about a situation where a friend of mine, his sister was in a very going through some very rough things in her life, and then she was unexpectedly expecting. So she's pregnant, and there was a bit of wrestling going on through her, because the dad is nowhere, and between her and her parents, and there was a whole wrestling going on about what to do in the situation. There's a lot of other circumstances to consider, and basically they were wondering whether she should keep the baby, and at that stage it seemed to settle down a bit, and it seemed to be going to be all right. But then we heard that there was a change of heart, and decided she was going to abort the baby on Thursday. And my brother, my friend, only heard about it that morning, mid-morning. And him and his wife rushed through from Johannesburg, and they asked me to join them at the hospital. So I found myself with my friend and his wife in the hospital with his sister, who was already prepared to go into theater to try and convince her not to terminate pregnancy. You know, situations like that where you realize that I'm like nothing, Lord. What can I do in a situation? I need Jesus to be in the situation. I need Christ now, Lord, to be here. And on the way there, I was praying, just pleading with God, you know, wrestling with God about the life of a child, an eternal soul that's going to live forever. And there was a battle going on, obviously, in the spirit for the life of this child. And then I remember in the car, the Lord had me prophesy over this little life. And I felt, okay, God has a plan. Amen. God always has a plan. And we arrived there, and they thought the procedure was going to happen in the afternoon about 5 o'clock. We arrived just after 12. But when we came in later on, we realized that they're already starting some of the things. So they'd already given her medication for pain. And then while we were there, some other people came, some other nurses, and wanted to administer some injections, which we found out later that we would start the process. And they thankfully said that they would come back in a few minutes as we were there. And we only realized later that if we were 10 or 15 minutes later, that the process would have already started. And it was such a precious moment there. And the grace of God was there, and Jesus was there, present with us. As I was just praying, and my friend and his wife were pleading with his sister. And they shared how God had prepared their hearts, and how they have an absolute conviction that God wants them to adopt this child. And they pleaded with her. And like I said, maybe in a couple of months I'll tell you the rest of the story, but in a few minutes' time, there was a battle going on for the life of this child. You could see she was torn, and she'd already made up her mind, and she was in the process. She'd already been prepared for theater. But praise be to God. When the nurses came again, she said, "I've changed my mind." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm sharing this story because I was just, again, so aware in that moment that, you know, there's nothing. What can I say? What can I say to convince somebody? But the presence of Christ was so precious right there. The peace of God in that place. Although there was chaos, it was a very full ward. We had a very small space. He was there. And he ministered to that lady. And this evening, obviously, there are two parties in this process. There's the mother and there's the child. and it's dramatic. The whole thing is obviously life-changing for both. And if you've been close to a situation like that, or if you know of somebody that has gone through something like an unwanted pregnancy and has wrestled through that whole thing, know that they need your support and they need your love. They don't need any judgment. They need grace and they need love and they need support. And we're gonna pray for that after as well. But guys, know that we're in whichever situation we find ourselves in, whether it be a small something that your neighbor is working through, or whether it be a big challenge that faces your family, that Jesus Christ, His grace is sufficient. Amen. He's with us, and He's able to confirm His word. He's able to, as we step out and we trust God. At one stage, we were out in the waiting room while they were giving a pain medication, and we prayed and we came in agreement. And God was with us. Amen. But as we invite Him into these situations, as we choose to partner with God, guys, anything is possible. And we will see the most crazy things. And right here in this room, I tell you, we start sharing our stories of what happened when we invite the Holy Spirit into our daily lives. We will sit here for a while and be astounded at the goodness of God. Amen. Just want to close with this scripture. Actually, I'll just quickly read Revelations as well. Now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Our salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." The power of sharing what God has done in our lives. And let's go to the next one as we close. Luke 8. Now this is just after Jesus was administered to the man who was possessed by a legion of demons. Okay, so he was completely oppressed. And he couldn't control himself. They tried to bind him with chains and trying to contain him, but he broke loose every time. He was kind of living amongst the tombs completely on his own there, kind of absolutely devastating. And this was after, and this is the most powerful thing, is when we enact our will. There's nothing more powerful than our will to choose Jesus. And when Jesus came into the situation, he ran to him, and the demons were all panicking. And he was delivered right there. But let's look at what happens next. "And when those who fed him saw what had happened, they fled and told it to in the city and in the country. And when they went out to see what had happened, they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means and who had been demon, the man, he who had been demon-possessed was healed. And now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him, Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you.' And when he went his way, he proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him." God says, it's such a powerful principle that Jesus said to him, "Listen, I know it's going to be blessed if you would follow me, but I want you to stay here. I want you to be in this community. I want you to be where I've put you right now and proclaim the great things that God has done for you." Each of us, guys, each of us are in a specific place, in a specific family situation, in a specific workplace or class. And in that place, tell of the great things that God has done for you. Amen. I mean, if you want to stand with me this evening, we're going to pray. The band can come up, please. When I think about the story of the feeding of the multitudes, I often think about the young boy Have you thought about this? I can't remember. I don't think that all the Gospels give his age, but a young boy had a lunch with him, packed lunch. And can you imagine what must have happened in his heart? Now, I suppose I'm thinking of this more because I see how my children react around adults. But he had the boldness to actually come to the disciples and say, "Listen, I know we have a lot of people here, but I've got my lunch here, and I'm willing to share." But there's such a powerful principle there, because you know, most of us, being very responsible adults, we'd probably be amused. So that's cute, you know. Oh, that's funny. It's cute because he thinks he can share this. But Jesus took him very seriously. And we've spoken now, we've chatted about how much we have received and how freely we have received through Christ. And how we can freely give that. But in those situations, often we think we don't have enough. And often we feel I lack. But I want us to operate like this little boy in our childish innocence, say, "Lord, won't you take my fish and my bread? Take these little bits, this little bit of time that I have, or this little bit of faith. Won't you take this? My perception of it is it's small, but I know you're able to do ridiculous miracles with these little bits." Amen. Won't we bring our fish and our bread and our little bit of time and our little bit of resource? Even sometimes when our faith feels small, say, "Lord, I'm bringing this to you. Asking that you do miracles with us." I'm going to tell you one more story. I remember at a time when we were doing a street evangelism in London around King's Cross Station. And I can't remember what happened that week, but I was going down there on the Friday. That whole week I was wrestling, and I was just so aware of how absolutely zero I am without Jesus. You know, so aware of how useless I am without. And almost to a point of just being a bit overwhelmed, how actually little I am at any good at anything or any good to anybody without Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. So I was on my way there, and we always had a group praying while the other guys went out to minister to people, and I'd never stay behind to pray because I was so keen to just be out there. And that evening I was wrestling with this. And I said, "No, I'm going to stay behind and pray today." And I was, as we were praying, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, it's very important. But as I was praying, the Lord convicted me and said, "I need you to go out there. Somebody is in need of healing." And I was like, "Oh, no, Lord, this is the last thing I want to do tonight. I don't even have confidence to speak with somebody. How can you expect me to pray for somebody to be healed?" But I praise God for His grace that I was obedient, and I walked down to the station wrestling with God. I remember having a couple of chats with a couple of people that evening, asking, how are you feeling? Are you healthy? Anything wrong? And everybody was fine, kind of thing. And then there was this old man, and he used to come out. He used to live alone, and he was... I think his wife had passed away. He used to live just alone. And he came to the station just to have company. So he used to just sit at the bus stop and chat with people just for some social interaction. And he was sitting there. My sister was with us, reaching out. She was chatting to him. And I came closer, and I realized that he was on crutches. And he was sitting down with his crutches with him. And his foot was wrapped up. And he had an acute case of some kind of arthritis or something, but his foot was really in a lot of pain, and he couldn't step on it, obviously, with the crutches. I was like, "Oh, okay." Hallelujah, and I went up to him and I joined the conversation. At one stage I said to him, "Listen, can I pray for your foot?" And I think most incredible experience that as I knelt down and laying hands on his foot there, and kneeling down on this very busy pavement in London, the bus stop is normally the most busiest place. I laid hands on his foot, and it was such a powerful revelation I had, as I realized in that moment that Jesus had already released. released his word. He's already spoken the word. Amen. That no matter what words I use or how I did this now, that because I was laying my hands on this sick person in obedience to the word of God, he was going to be healed. And I prayed, I don't know what I said, but I prayed, and I remember chatted some more, and then I asked him, how do you feel? How's your foot? And I remember his face when he realized that he was well. I remember the joy on his face when he moved his foot and he stepped on it, and I could see that he completely healed. And whether I'm sharing this with you because in that moment he was like, "Wow, what do you do? Kind of like healing and stuff." I said, "No, whoa, hold on, whoa, no, you know." And I had to explain, and because I know that when Christ, when we go in obedience to the Word and in the obedience of the unction of the Holy Spirit, that anything is possible. And I honestly, guys, I was young in the faith at that stage, wrestling through these things, but God is able to confirm his word. Amen. Let's pray and see. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us, Lord. We thank you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead in us and with us right here, right now. Thank you, Lord, that you're not only here as we gather, but you are with each of us as we go in our daily walk. Thank you, Jesus, that you minister to every heart in this place.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.